Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we are discussing e-commerce. It's really been one of those trends that's been on the rise over the last couple of years, accelerated by the COVID-19 pandemic, and in particular, the lockdowns that forced a lot of people to not be able to go to shops and stuff like that, trusting the internet a little bit more, and you know, to just unpack things, because according to PayU, which is a fintech platform globally, sort of process backed, they are actually saying that Africa has sort of reached a tipping point, according to a new report that they recently published around e-commerce. And to help us to unpack what all of this means, we're joined by Karen Nadison, who is the CEO of PayU South Africa, just to give us some insights into what's been going on. Karen seems to have become, you know, sort of our go-to person when it comes to the e-commerce trends, definitely not a stranger to the show. Good morning to you, Karen.
Morning, Madiwa. Good to be back on the show.
No. Thank you so much for being with us for today, and especially just sharing your insights, because it really does seem like it's one of those conversations that we really are trying to check in on and see where things are going as much as possible. But before we actually touch on the report itself, I think it would really help, because sometimes it feels like there's a conflation sometimes of different terms when it comes to the e-commerce universe, because I did note that, you know, that distinction being made in the report when I was just going through it, to say that there's a difference between things like, let's say, online retail, which is still at, let's say, 5 to 10% penetration in a country like South Africa, versus e-commerce, which encompasses, you know, a whole range of, you know, services and products, etc. And that's, you know, that penetration is much higher.
Thanks for pointing that out. I think that's really, really important to note. And something we started to mention last year when we were asked about e-commerce growth, because we always look at e-commerce as a percentage of retail. You know, and I think now we've said during COVID that would grow up to around 5%. But what is excluded is delivery services, for instance, other e-services. In this report that we put out, we're focusing on four sectors. So beauty and cosmetics, fashion and gallantry, which is actually sits really well within e-commerce. But then there's question marks around digital goods, for instance, and education, which we are including in e-commerce. But there isn't really anything out there, any standard that says these are the sectors that now, you know, we're looking at. We really need a holistic view on online digital spend. And I think really that should be the focus moving forward, because it also gives a good indication of the number of people that are spending money online, wherever that is, on digital platforms.
Now, against that backdrop and with that explanation there, for you guys, I think firstly, what were some of the highlights of the reports? But as you get into them, how did you guys actually conduct this report? Was there an aim when things started out, or were you guys just sort of continuously looking at the trends? And then you said, okay, cool, we see some interesting trends that we'd like to note and highlight to the market, and we're just going to do them in the form of a report.
So PayU is in 50 countries. We have hundreds and thousands of merchants. And I think, you know, just that in itself provides a really rich source of global data to look at what has COVID meant for the world, essentially, and what are the areas of focus. So when we looked at our data, there were very specifically certain regions in 19 geographies in emerging markets, which we focused on. Which we saw that to be the highest growth sectors. So that's Latin America, Africa, Central Eastern Europe, including Russia and Southeast Asia. In terms of how the data was collected, we used our own data sources, of course, being rich and, of course, you know, global data. We also used Statista published data for January 2021. And in addition to that, we used national data. So this was country-specific national data that would have been published and a number of other rich and academic data sources for this research report.
And I couldn't help but noticing the fact that some of the growth areas you mentioned, especially outside of Africa, there was a big, I don't know what word to use, emphasis on, I guess, emerging markets. And, you know, I guess that's why they're called emerging markets, because you see some of these trends and stuff emerging from those specific countries. So for you, when it comes to the region, what type of highlights, you know, I guess, stood out for you?
Okay, so let's cover South Africa first, right? So I think certainly we saw e-commerce growth. Online spend increased by 30%. We now are sitting with 22 million shoppers. So 22 million people shopped online, and many, many businesses, tens of thousands, came online for the first time last year. And many people took their first step online. So they made their first purchase online last year. So this is really, you know, I think quite a transformative year. And and interestingly enough, this is actually, and I'll talk a little bit about this later, it is sustained growth. So I'm not, you know, when you speak to me probably the end of this year, maybe next year, I won't tell you that we saw a negative growth. This is going to be sustained growth, and we're predicted for some decent high growth percentages in this year as well. I think also, you know, we look at South Africa and we think, okay, South Africa has obviously got the most amount of shoppers in the African continent, and that actually isn't really the case. Kenya is generally a country where gifting and travel is quite big. That really is the industry sector. And of course, as we know, during COVID, tourism was hit the most. Travel and tourism is the hardest hit sector. So for them, what we see is fashion and gallantry sector being quite large. That was 194 million in 2019. We expect that to grow by 504 million by the end of 2021. And digital goods. A lot of people, of course, were sitting at home. So the sector increased, and we foresee that this is going to be a 94% increase. Now, Kenya's got 13 million shoppers. So that's less than South Africa. But if we look at Nigeria, Nigeria's got similar internet penetration, slightly lower at 46%. Mobile penetration is high, youthful population. We're looking at 77 million shoppers. It is a huge amount. So Nigeria really is the crown of Africa in terms of e-commerce spend at the moment. And that internet penetration and mobile penetration continues to increase. Their spend on fashion in 2020 alone was $1.8 billion and $200 million in beauty. So I think that, in terms of we need to keep an eye on our neighbors as well. It's not just South Africa anymore. And hopefully a number of other African countries will follow suit.
No, I really like I really like that highlight, because I think sometimes because one is sitting in South Africa, it's easy to think that as the most developed economy on the continent, it's the one that's obviously going to have the highest rates when it comes to things like e-commerce. But, you know, a report like this really helps to highlight the fact that, no, that's actually not the case, that there are these other, you know, burgeoning economies. And I can imagine, because I've been to a country like Kenya, and in Kenya, the rate of mobile data prices, for example, is very low. Like, you can get 5-10 gigs of data for very cheap amounts compared to what we're doing in South Africa. And I'm sure all of that feeds into that case. But before we go on, there's a term that you guys use in your report that I really wanted clarity on, because I had to go out and really research this term, because when you Google it, you don't get the term as you guys are used it, and that's gallantry. What is gallantry?
You know, I was prepared for this question. I knew you were going to ask me this. So actually, a lot of people don't know what gallantry is. So if we look at fashion, fashion is mostly around apparel. So that is, you know, your t-shirts, shorts, that kind of thing, clothing that you put on. And gallantry is everything else that goes with it. So it's footwear, bags, accessories, jewelry. So those are all classified as gallantry.
Okay, cool. I think now that you've given it out like that, because I remember last week when the report initially came out, I actually did something around this. We wrote an article, and that's what made me initially go through the report. And I remember just struggling for this term, right? And I was like, what? You know what?
I need to look deeper into this and look at the roots of gallantry and where it comes from. You know, I'm going to do that. Yeah.
No, and I really like the fact that at least, you know, it's forcing some of us to actually learn, you know, some of these things. So when it comes to, you know, all of that, then gallantry included and all of that, you guys did focus on, you know, the specific sectors that you did mention. Was there a particular reason why you guys focused on those sectors, or is it simply by function of them being the ones that people are shopping in the most?
So in terms of e-commerce, these sectors represented the highest growth and also highest potential. So remember I said earlier that we saw significant spend in these areas, but also in terms of the latest data that we're seeing, these are the areas that people will continue to spend in. So we also, for merchants, people that are considering taking businesses online, these might be areas to focus on.
Okay, cool. That makes sense. And with that in mind, what are the opportunities then for people that are looking to capitalize either on the trends, on the sectors? Because there's people that are probably listening to this and they have a business in whatever sector that they're in, and they're saying, okay, cool, but then how do I actually take advantage of some of these trends that are happening right now?
So this is a really important question. And I think here I'm going to take a bit of time. I want to go into each of these different sectors, and I talk about the growth and also about the potential opportunities and what people need to consider if they're wanting to go into these sectors. So if we look at beauty and cosmetics, there was significant growth in this sector. And I think from an industry perspective, if we look at industry stats, it says 140% growth in the sector. And this includes both global brands, international brands, and local brands. So we had Estee Lauder, MAC, those, you know, US and UK merchants, as well as our local brands, such as Anique, for instance, are participating in this in the sector. We do see a higher increase coming in 2021. And the PayU increase, of course, in this area was also really good. We saw a 69% increase during COVID. So I think, interestingly, in this sector, what is important to note is that South Africans see this as a luxury purchase. And that means that you are more likely to spend money in the sector if you're purchasing a gift or if it is at a bargain, so if there is a sale. So if we look at, I specifically reported on this on Black Friday, because the growth that you see on Black Friday is in the thousands of percentages, which means that in the sector, spending is isolated to, or significant spending, should I say, is isolated to specific days during Black Friday, during Christmas, for instance, when people are buying gifts or looking for those sales and bargains. And this is particularly because in South Africa, we look at this very much as a luxury sector. I think it's important to note that if you are looking for taking a business, a beauty business online, and if you're looking at a monthly income, for instance, to take those factors into consideration. Sales, Black Friday, Christmas, that is when you're really going to make your money. And more than likely, you won't really make money, you know, on a monthly basis, for instance, the same type of income.
Actually, Karen, whilst you're talking, it's very interesting that you are describing it as, you know, in the way that you are. And it's backed up by the data, like what you said, because I think others might think of, you know, that particular sector as being, you know, people are, I guess the trends during COVID-19 have been a bit different, but one would think that people are, I guess, taking care of themselves on a daily basis.
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly in the sector, you know, as I say, we saw growth, and I think also it was unprecedented growth because we thought, you know, everyone is sitting at home. You're kind of sitting out in tracksuits the entire day. You're not really going anywhere. Why would you even spend money in the sector? But clearly, that is not the case. And people are spending more money in this, taking care of themselves, which is really, really good. But I think it's also, you know, there's a lot of new brands that are coming online, new lipstick brands, bespoke brands for makeup. And just if you're looking for, it's kind of a sustained monthly income, it's important to consider all these other factors of how consumers spend so that you can match and you can have a successful business. And I think one of the important factors of releasing this report is to show potential merchants out there that these are the great sectors, you can participate, but these are important things to note as well, because we also want you to succeed.
Okay, cool. And then moving on to the other ones.
Okay, so fashion and gallantry is really, really progressed market, right? So if we look at this across the globe, there are some really well-established brands. So in the sector, it's the high street brand, luxury brand, and a lot of niche South African brands. When I high street brand, high street is a British term, and it really talks about the kind of stores that you would see on the high street. So for us, it's more like the mall brands, like you would see a Fashini, a Truworths, the Edgars, that kind of thing. So that would be our high street brands. And then luxury brands, more bespoke designer brands. And then, of course, there also you have international brands like, for instance, a Versace or Gucci. And then we have a whole lot of little niche brands like Kido, or, you know, lots of children's clothing, maybe some really cool sneakers. Those are little niche brands. And we see all of those online. And I think very interesting in the sector is that not only did we see really good growth, we anticipate there to be $1.5 billion spent by South Africans by the end of 2021 in the sector, but also that there have been a lot of developments in terms of internationalization and global infrastructure and supply chains. So you're now able to also shop in Net-a-Porter, for instance, and Versace, and have your shipping delivered to South Africa, including duties. So there's a significant development in the sector as well, and potentially presents opportunities for South Africans to not only have their brands visible by South Africans, but also to take this elsewhere.
And when it comes to that, do you think there's what's it called? Because you've just highlighted all of the niche brands and the ones that are, you know, coming in from the international markets. I'm guessing that if someone has a local brand, that if they're not, you know, doing it online or facilitating online payments of any kind, then it's sort of hard at the moment to take advantage of what's actually going on in that particular sector.
Absolutely. Not is it hard, it's impossible. So, and I think that is the great thing about being online, is that it does open up additional avenues that are not available to you if you have a store in a location or a few locations. You are really limiting the kind of consumers or the number of consumers that would see your brand and come into your store. Once you take your brand online, you now have exponential exposure. You can, it's going to be firstly to your country, potentially into neighboring countries, as many of our merchants also sell to neighboring countries. Of course, you know, there are the considerations in terms of infrastructure, exchange rates, and a couple of other things there. And then potentially overseas. There's quite a few South African merchants online, even bespoke niche brands, lingerie brands, for instance, that produce really high quality goods that are already shipping overseas. So taking your brand online, I think it opens up additional avenues, and really you're able to, with the right, planning, to globalize your brand.
Any thoughts on seasonality on that front?
And I think, okay, so that's a good point, right? Because we're in the Southern Hemisphere. So it also means that whatever you can't actually sell year during winter, you can sell in the Northern Hemisphere. So from that perspective, it would increase the amount of sales that you could make. And I think there are still strides that need to be made in terms of infrastructure, but that's all in the making. And you know, as I pointed out earlier, there are already brands that are selling from South Africa to international markets and vice versa. So that will only just get better.
Okay, cool. And then moving on to the next segment.
Right. So the next segment we focused on was digital. And in the sector, we're looking at online media, streaming, including gaming, for instance. A lot of people were, of course, sitting at home during COVID and were bored. And I pointed out earlier that in Kenya, this is also a really high growth sector and predicted to go through 94% by the end of this year. So for South Africa, I think it was external predictions of 46% growth on digital media. And by 2021, and this sector has already grown by 69%. So we see an additional 46% growth on top of that 69%. A lot more people are, you know, watching videos, online streaming, Netflix, Showmax, for instance. And then I think, you know, from there, the next sector that we focused on is education, which is such an important sector, because if we look at South Africa, we have only just over half the population that is online. And a really, really positive thing during COVID is that there were a number of government initiatives and initiatives from educational institutions to make, and telecom actually, to make all the education websites free. So you didn't need data, you didn't need any, didn't need to spend any money to go and access these education. And this was such an important step for us, certainly to assist with the digital divide and digital inclusivity that we face in South Africa. So in the sector, PayU growth, we saw 67% in 2020. In quarter three, which is around September, we saw the highest amount of academic registrations online, huge increase, threefold spend in the sector, which shows a surge now in online education. And this is including major institutes, like we're talking about University of Stellenbosch, for instance, University of the Western Cape, UCT, and a number of subscriptions for bespoke sort of kids education.
One of the things I'm trying to understand, Karen, because it's something you raised at the beginning of the conversation around education, was the fact that it was sort of like a gray area, if I can call it, simply because unlike the other sectors that you've been highlighting, it's something that's relatively new in terms of take-up in South Africa. It's existed for a long time, but the take-up has really gone up in the last year or so. So from a PayU point of view, is it that I'm trying to understand on the payment side, is it that universities and, you know, TVET colleges are making people pay for courses online through platforms like a PayU? Is it, I guess those are the type of things I'm trying to understand, those types of mechanics.
Yeah, that's right. So I think there's a couple of things here. So education institutes would have most likely just accepted debit order, and they would not have streamed their content online. But during COVID, everyone needed to shift and make and pivot. And so the academic institutes all kind of went online. You know, I'm doing my EMBA through UCT, and we literally just went from in-person, weeks on campus to every single thing online. And I think in addition to that, they've also revisited their payment options and processes. And there's also been opportunities for other shorter courses to go online. And I think one of the really positive things is that there are more flexible options. So PayU, you know, you can make a payment via a whole host of payment methods, but also there's the option to pay via subscription basis, which is much easier on the pocket, certainly during COVID.
Okay, cool. I think, you know, the way when you put it like that, you know, then it starts making sense, because I guess I was just trying to understand how people are paying for education online and that type of thing. So as we end off the discussion, then what do you make of, you know, South Africa's e-commerce growth versus, I guess, other countries? Because you've already touched on, you know, Nigeria and Kenya earlier on. So I guess in the greater scheme of things, as a country, how is South Africa doing?
I think South Africa is doing really, really well. We have got other issues that we need to really solve. To have more people shopping online, we need to have more people online. So, and that also, you know, coming to your point earlier, you spoke about Kenya and data being really cheap. That is something that we really, really need to focus on. We need to, everybody should be online. I don't think that, you know, this is just coming back to knowledge and curiosity and being part of this whole digital world. I think that data and access is something that everyone has the right to have. So for me, South Africa really needs to look at that quite seriously. We've got other issues in terms of employment and so forth, but I'm quite sure that our government is taken such a great pragmatic approach to COVID. And we've actually come out of this quite well. And I have, you know, I'm very confident that this is going to, that the situation is going to improve in those respects. If we look at the other countries, certainly in all these sectors, they have improved and there's continued growth. I pointed out earlier globalization, internationalization of brands, because as much as there's opportunity for us elsewhere, there are also a lot of brands where if we look at fashion and gallantry, for instance, in those sectors, they're saturated in other markets. And so they are looking at where else they can go to increase their brand and their footprint and make more money. So we're going to see a lot more globalization, a lot more activity and improvements in the sector. And I think we need to be prepared for it. And also, it's a great opportunity to participate. And I hope that we do.
A great opportunity to participate. So that's been us with Karen Edison, who is the CEO of PayU South Africa, just leading us through some of the new research and data that they've come up with. They are a fintech platform, you know, processing payments. And she's been giving us some insights, saying that Africa has reached quite a bit of a tipping point, highlighting some of the areas that are actually growing at the moment. They spoke about, you know, a number of different areas such as beauty and cosmetics, fashion and gallantry, digital goods, and then just ending off talking about education. And she was highlighting the opportunities that are available in all of the different areas. She also spoke about the fact that you know, as South Africa, probably has one of the highest rates of internet penetration, and that's really helped South Africa to be where it is, with about 22 million people, or 37% of the population, actually participating in e-commerce. But that there are other countries such as Kenya and Nigeria, where in Nigeria you have, you know, more than three times the number of you know, online shoppers, you know, sitting at over 70 million, which makes you just see how big the Nigerian market is. So she just highlights, one of the things that I took away was the fact that if you're a local business, let's say in fashion, you might have some clothing that is, I guess, summer focused that you can't sell in winter in South Africa. But because of the change in seasons in the Northern Hemisphere, you could be selling that type of clothing in other parts of the world. So lots of opportunities on hand. Karen, as always, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Madhura.
This is Madhura's Tech.
Yet another fascinating conversation, and I like the fact that we keep getting Karen, someone like Karen, to talk to us about what's going on in e-commerce, because there are a number of e-commerce players that we do engage with constantly, but at least from a PayU point of view, just seeing the growth that they are seeing on their own platform and some of the research that they are finding, I think the most insightful piece of information that came through was that bit about how many online shoppers or people participating in e-commerce that a country like Nigeria has. I think that also speaks to what we mean by scale and the importance of having, you know, some of these large populations. And more than anything else, one hopes that more can be done in terms of having continent-wide trade when it comes to e-commerce, because at the end of the day, as a continent, you know, I've said this time and time again, but, you know, the continent is competing against the European Union, which is a collective of countries. It's competing against the United States, which is literally a collection of states, whilst at the same time competing with the billion people in India, billion people in China. So the coming together, the collective of the African continent, could really drive us forward if, you know, if we have continent-wide e-commerce players, whether they be especially on the side of delivery. Let's say, for example, if Takealot or Jumia, you know, decided that they're going to have a continent-wide presence, that could go a long way to helping that growth, but also at the same time the collective, you know, because if you have the likes of Takealot, you know, taking care of their regions, the likes of Jumia taking care of their regions, but if people can have some type of partnerships across, you know, to say that a merchant in South Africa who wants to fulfill an order in Nigeria can, you know, perhaps be listed on Takealot, but could fulfill through Jumia for some of those markets, you know, the partnerships like that could really help us to go along way when it comes to e-commerce. And then the other thing is just how many shoppers there are in South Africa, just as a proportion of the population, to say that 37% or 22 million people are already shopping online, because I think that speaks to the trends that we're talking about, right? Because sometimes when we speak about online retail, we still say it's less than 5%, and it makes it seem as if, you know, there's very little going on. But something like this, you know, when you look at the broader e-commerce landscape that takes into account all of these different areas beyond online retail, the digital goods, education, etc., you really see that the digital economy really is growing. So looking forward to keeping an eye on what's going on in this space, and perhaps we can talk to some people from the various sectors just around some of the growth and trends that they are seeing on their end. So that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Life. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. On Twitter, we're #BDSpotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gabaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So, for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.